Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Pelo de Borghese.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vibach Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Del Boar Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Mike's not with us tonight. Mike's in Jacksonville. That's the Florida town, Jacksonville. I don't know. He had a day off or something, and he decided to go for a trip, and he drove up to Jacksonville. So he's in Jacksonville this evening and not with us. Boy, this computer's driving me nuts again. And not with us, but you've got me. We're going to be talking about sherry tonight, plus a few other things I got to talk to you about here. A few other things I want to pass on to you. Some interesting stuff that I've found. No real estate. I'll wait until Mike gets back next week. We'll talk real estate here. Besides that, I need to sort it out and find out which ones are doing. All right. Am I the only one, or is everybody out there getting tired of the political season already? Boy, I'll tell you what, this is starting to drive me nuts already. And we still got, what, 3 months? September, October? Well, November's election, so 2.5 months to go. It's insane. I don't care who your candidate is. I don't care what office they're running for. I don't care any of that stuff. I do care that it is starting to drive everybody nuts. The phone calls every evening, the recordings. I'll tell you, the recordings are really getting good, though. That is one thing I have to comment. I was telling my engineer here the other day that the recordings sound so lifelike. You say something, and then they start talking to you, and if you don't respond, then they hang up because they are based on prompts from your voice, and it's just fun, interesting to sit there and play with them. You know, they ask you a question, they expect you to say yes, and you say no, and it confuses the recording, and then they start saying something else, and or they repeat or all that. So, but it's this election season is really, really starting to get old really, really fast here. So can't wait until that's all over. You can call the regular number. We've told you that over and over again. Or you can call our toll-free number. Yes, we do have a toll-free number now. It is 866-588-WINE. Yay! Or 9463. Then click the option 1, and that'll get you on air. I'll still check on you and be sure that we're going to be talking about wine. But you can call us toll-free, or if you still want to call us on the other line, landline that we've used all along, 646-727-3235. That's a call to New York, so we decided to give you an option here of toll-free. And we'll see how it works. If we get calls or anything, then we'll keep it. If not, then we can always cancel it. But right now, it's there. It's available. So give me a call. We're going to talk about sherry. First, I want to hit a couple of the topics here, a couple of the quick things for you before I go into sherry. Florida Grower Magazine. It's one of the trade journals I get now as a farm winery. But there's a little article in the August 2016 issue here that I have to share with you. We talked to a winery in Kentucky, I believe it was, Tennessee. I can't remember. I think it was Tennessee. We talked to a winery up there, and I don't remember which one. The guy promoted muscadine grapes. He said, we should embrace muscadine. We should shout it from the hilltops. Tell everyone how important and how great muscadine grapes are, because they are our native grape here, and it's something that we should embrace and let everyone know about and let everyone try it and all that. Well, I found this article. It's, again, out of the Florida Growers Magazine. Are muscadine grapes the next super fruit? Recent poll, do you like muscadine grapes? 72% that responded said yes. 7% said no. And then 21% said they have never tried them. But still, 72% like muscadine grapes. Now, these are Florida Grower Magazine, so that tells you a little bit there, too. It might be, they're saying, the article says it might be the best-kept secret in the South. This is a recent University of Florida-based experiment. Said more consumers, if you're already familiar with them, are apt to choose muscadine grapes over other varieties. Wow, and that surprised me because muscadines tend to be pretty thick-skinned, a lot of seeds. UF IFAS, University of Florida IFAS researchers are trying to expand consumers' knowledge of muscadine grapes, and they hope that this is going to lead to people buying more muscadine grapes since it's all over Florida. I mean, you know, why not? The grapes have a lot of healthy attributes, and UF IFAS is saying that it could be the potential next superfruit. I mean, we hear about all these others, blackberries and blueberries and boysenberries and raspberries and all that. Well, why not the muscadine, they're saying. To examine the perception of the fruit, Melis Frederick, who's a graduate student in food science and human health, studied 139 people, 70 of whom said that they have tried and are familiar with muscadine, and 69 who weren't. And those who found that the ones that knew about it said that they liked the appearance, the flavors, the textures, and all that more than they did about any other grapes. But if you're a muscadine fan, then you're going to say that. I said, with the better technology for shipping, storage, and all that, producers can better market the muscadine across the United States as opposed to just the Southeast. So they're seeing if they can't start doing a advertising program to increase the knowledge of muscadine and see if they can't sell them. So there you go. It's going to be on the shelf one day soon. So if you get a chance, pick up a bunch of muscadine grapes. If you haven't had the muscadine wine, that's always interesting too. That's always a fun, interesting wine to have. And speaking of which, I am having some tonight. Strong Tower, which is a winery close to us. It's our closest winery, closest one to us, actually. Strong Tower Winery. They're located in Spring Hill. Actually, they're still in Pasco, same county as I am, but they're Spring Hill address. They make a rosé wine. And pleasant. It's made with the muscadine grapes, and it is really not the overpowering muscadine taste and flavors and all that that you really expect from the muscadine. Very nice wine. Light, a little dark on the rosé side, which is nice, but it's got the hints of muscadine in it. So, muscadine, there you go. Let's see. Oh, this is, we've talked about the millennials and who, how they're buying and all that. I saw something the other day, and I will be talking about it more, saying that the millennials aren't really the group we need to be catering to. We need to be catering to the boomers. It said that the boomers really do control a lot of the spending in this country, more than millennials. Millennials have been getting a lot of notice, but when the stats come out and when they start looking at everything, the boomers are the ones that are spending the money. The boomers are the ones that are really dictating a lot of it, and advertisers would be better suited to start addressing the boomers more than they have been, and not just the millennials. But this was an interesting chart. Youngest and oldest counties in the country. Lexington City, Virginia, average age is 22.4. So if you're young, you want people that young around you, 22.4. That's the youngest average age of any city. Madison County, Idaho, 23.2. Cusack Census Area, which is in Arkansas, and that's a strange way to sue it, 23.3. Radford City, Virginia, 23.8. Chattahoochee County, Georgia, 24. Todd County, South Dakota, 24.5. Utah County, Utah, 24.5. Whitman County, Washington, 24.6. Chass County, Utah, 24.9. And Riley County, Kansas, 25.1. Those are the youngest counties in the country. Those are obviously some young ages there. But we also have the oldest, the ones that I was just mentioning that probably need to be catered, and probably the ones that should be starting to be noticed more than anything. Custer County, Colorado, 56.5. Jeff Davis County, Texas, 56.9, as is Wheeler County, Oregon. Lancaster County, Virginia, 57.1. Jefferson County, Washington, 57.3. Ontonagon, I guess that's pronounced, Michigan, 57.3. Alcona County, Michigan, 57.9. Charlotte County, Florida. I have a cousin who lives in Charlotte County, Florida, who is brings this average age up. That is 58.4. Catron County, New Mexico, 60.1. And the number one oldest county in the country, Sumter County, Florida, average age 66.6. Sumter County is the home of, I got a blank. Let me ask my engineer. What's up in Sumter County? The villages. The villages is an enormous retirement community. Enormous retirement community. And so 66.6 average there. And so there you go. Marketers, get out there. Start looking at the changing market demographics, because it is a lot older people than what you've been given credit for. And before I start talking about sherry, I got one other thing to tell you about here. This was interesting. Let me tell you about this. Intelligent Wine Pack. This is out of Pack World magazine, August 2016, the newest one. Intelligent wine packaging takes place of sommelier. Cynic, S-Y-N-E-K, Cynic. The St. Louis startup that introduced a standalone beer dispenser for home use in mid-2015 has now taken its technology and applied it to wine. And this is personalized wine drinking experience. The new SOMM, S-O-M-M, SOMM wine dispensing system uses RFID-enabled wine cylinders to adjust the unit for the perfect temperature and aeration, while Wi-Fi technology enables the SOMM to learn the wine drinker's palate and create wines. This is create. I sure should mean create. No, create. Probably like wines just for them. The SOMM, like the beer dispenser, is a tabletop unit. It measures 16.5 inches high, 9 inches in width, and 16.5 inches in depth. Almost, you know, square on the side. And is available in three finishes. The to dispense wine, the user inserts a silo, S-Y-L-O is what they call it, a silo, which is a 2.25 liter cylinder of wine into the system, which then reads an RFID label on the package to adjust the temperature and aeration of the pour specifically for that wine. Cool. Cynic founder and SOMM inventor Steve Young says his goal is creating a system to reduce the cost related to shipping wine and to make the wine selection less overwhelming for consumers. Our requirements for the packaging that were that it be 60% cheaper than bottles, fully recyclable, be data-enabled, and not look like a box of Franzia, he says. Ooh. It's not. It's round. They have a picture of it here. They developed it in-house. The silo is constructed of an outer recycled paper bag cylinder within which is a flexible pouch that holds the wine. The four-ply laminated pouch is constructed of PET foil, biaxially oriented nylon PE. A flexible packaging supplier has not yet been finalized. Yeah, if you're a flexible packager out there, get a hold of them. A proprietary valve fitment interacts with a special pump in the SOMM to extract the wine without needing gas, allowing users to switch from one silo to another at any time. The fitment automatically seals when removed from the system. It allows for full exchangeability without hurting the shelf life. So you can pop one out and pop a new one in and adjust the temperature, and you're good to go. This is cool. You listen to this? You know, this is cool. This is really a cool system here. Sets on your table. It's a nice little thing. Shelf life, it says that it's untouched, which means that you don't have to worry about the wine inside. Some wines are meant to be drunk within a year. Others are meant to be aged. The silo keeps the wine perfectly preserved no matter how many times it is engaged within the SOMM. So, you know, you pop it in, you have yourself a glass or two, you pop it out, you put in another one, you let it sit on the shelf. A couple of days later, you want that one again, you pop it in, you wait, get the thing to temperature, pop it out. It's there all the time, just what you want, and it's not going to go bad on you. To track how much wine is in the silo, users can sync their smartphone with the SOMM. This app also gives them more information about the wine they're drinking and what it pairs with, and automatically reorder and all that stuff for the wine. Says where it really gets exciting, says Young, is when their user ranks the wines on very specific categories. This specificity allows us to pinpoint exactly why the user liked or disliked the wine, and then it starts building up a profile for you. And then that way it can tell, you know, what you like and what you don't like and all. The silo holds the equivalent of 3 750-milliliter glass bottles, which actually reduces the packaging material by 62%, and all of the components are recyclable. The package also produces 60% less CO2 than glass bottles in terms of emission from materials, shipping weights, storage space, and all that other good stuff. The Somme and the Silos are currently in production and will be available to a limited audience by the end of the year. The system is scheduled to launch at around retail in quarter one of 2017. The Somme is priced at $299, and the Silos range anywhere from $20 to $100+, depending on the wine you're getting. Cynic will launch with around 30 wines, an assortment that it hopes to grow by one or two wines per week. Young says eventually we plan to have 1,000+ wines within the next 3 years. That's cool. That really is a cool system. That would be, I'm anxious to see more about that. It didn't give a website or anything. I tried to find something on it to go look it up, and I didn't see a website. So I don't know. But as I find out more, I will keep you posted. Or if you see it in the first quarter of next year and you buy one, keep me posted. I'm curious. Send me a picture or something of it. Sherry. Not the song by the Four Seasons, but the fortified wine, Sherry. Sherry is a fortified wine. Comes from Spain. It is been around for a long, 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 long time. Let me find what I wanted here. Here it is. Been around for a long time. It's made in the on. Here we go with this big long Spanish word, and I'm going to destroy this. I apologize to all of you Spanish speaking people, but I don't. In the Jerez Xerez Sherry y Manzanilla de Sinclair de Barrameda D.O. That's where it's made. It's a designated area located around the town of Jerez de la Frontera. It's in the southern part of Spain, southwest part of Spain, where it's basically going. And it's considered one of the three great fortified wines. One of them, we talked about port. Sherry is the other one. Madeira is the other one. We haven't talked about that yet. I may look up and let you know some stuff about that in the future here. But there's basically two types of sherries. There is Fino and Oloroso. The difference is that the natural occurring yeast called flor is what separates the two. Flor forms only in wines under 15.5% alcohol. Fino, which has a general alcohol level between 15 and 16, is usually a light and dry and keeps fresh by the floral, which forms on the surface of the wine in the barrel. So it's like a seal over the top, if you will. This layer keeps the wine from oxidation. Oloroso has an alcohol level of 18 to 20% and is matured without flor. So this causes the wine to oxidize and also causes it to get a nice deep brown color with different characteristics, like a nutty raisin characteristic. Whenever you start aging stuff, that nutty raisin characteristic seems to come out too. I mean, not just in sherries, but wines or anything. While both styles start out dry, the Oloroso is often sweetened to produce different variations. Okay, Fino. This is a dry cocktail sherry with a pleasant, nutty taste. It's usually pale, straw-colored, light-bodied, and dry. Not a heavy, bold wine at all, just a very soft style. Top-class Fino sherries are particularly clean and delicate with prolonged age cast, so some have a chance to develop. As the florals thin and finally dies, the wine gains body and more intensity of color. So well-aged fino is called Amatiado. Amatiado takes its name from the neighboring Montillo town, where wines similar in style to sherries are made by the Solera system. I'll talk about Solera shortly here, too. The Solera system. Amatiado is made from fino sherry that is aged for a long time. But you can also get inexpensive versions out there. Some are made from inferior lots of Oloroso, which is the other style I was telling you about. And it's a lot of times used for blending and sweetening. Deep color of amber and richer and nuttier flavors come out in the fino manzanillo. So, also, manzanillo is a pale straw-colored, delicate, tangy, very dry. And again, remember the definition of dry in wines and stuff is no sweet. So when it says very dry, you're getting zero residual sugar. The manzanilla is made in the same style as the fino in the town of San Lucar di Bermeda. San Lucar's proximity to the Atlantic Ocean gives it a salty tang to the young wines, which, you know, I can understand that. This is the manzanilla is the only one that you really should serve young. It's within 6 months or so of bottling. This is should be drank. It is the driest of all the sherries, and it is suggested to serve chilled. Amontillado, wow, I can't pronounce that. My tongue just doesn't work right for that. It's usually also dry or semi-dry, but they can be sweetened, and when they're sweetened, they're called medium or pale, a pale sherry. I'm sure you've heard of that. The Amontillado is also served chilled. And not cold. When I say chilled, a couple of hours at the most in the refrigerator. You don't need them cold. You need them brought down chilled. The Olorosa are dark gold to deep brown in color. They are usually full-bodied with a nice raisiny aroma and flavor, but also dry in the finish. Those are usually between 18 and 20% in alcohol, and those are not chilled. Cream sherry, or the dessert sherry. Most everyone has heard of Harvey's Bristol Cream. That's been on people's menu for years and years. And I know why, because it really is quite delicious. Harvey's Bristol Cream is a good example. Full body with a rich, smooth, and nutty flavor and a touch of sweetness. And they're saying the cream sherries are a touch of sweetness. If you ever had Harvey's, it seemed like a lot more than a touch. Cream sherries are sweeter than golden sherries, by the way. The cream sherries are amber color, aged in oak, and in this most popular sherry that you're going to find here in the United States, the cream sherries. Once it's open, it will last up to 2 months. So don't let it sit around forever, but you don't have to consume it right away. And then Pedro Ximenez, also called PX for short. This wine has a molasses color, real deep, intense molasses color. Very sweet with flavors of a prune, roasted fruit, nutty, spicy. This is served not chilled. Perfect, they're suggesting on this particular article, to have it poured over ice cream. I would suggest French vanilla, although French vanilla is always my go-to ice cream whenever I'm pouring any wine over it. You can always find one that satisfies your particular taste buds. Basic on sherries. Let's get into a little bit of detail here, though. I'm going to talk a little bit more about sherries. This is a book, and I'm going to tell you where I get this. This is a book I bought many, many years ago. This is The Great Book of Wine. It is, I don't know, let's see if it says the last page here. Close to 500 pages. I think they still sell updated versions in the store. You can still buy it. But basically, it's the same stuff. It just talks about newer wines as opposed to this. This is, like I said, I bought this years ago. And the copyright on this, and if you give me a second, I'll let you know. The copyright on this was 1970, so this is a few years ago. Quite a few years ago, 50. Wow. Getting close to it. But, again, information doesn't change. When you start talking about the wine stuff, basic information doesn't change, and it's the same with this. It's talking about the largest portions of the area of Spain and what is growing and where and all that. And the wines of southern Spain, there is a variety of different wines in southern Spain and different makers of it. But you've got dry wines, which can go by numerous names, Amontillo, Passado, Fino, Mirlis, Oloroso, Oloroso Viejo, Blanco Seco. These are all different types of dry wines you will see on label and also from different areas. Sweet wines, Muscatel, and so often people associate Muscatel with your alley drunk and all that stuff. Muscatel is a grape that is and has been used extensively in Spain over the centuries as a sherry grape. And it's still used in a lot of places around the world for that. But the Muscatel grapes are all also blended a lot with the Palomino-based sherries, a Palomino grape. But sweet wines go in Muscatel, Muscatel Dorado, Extra Viejo, Dulce Añejo, Via Solera, and then it goes into a tremendous amount of different ones here for the other sherries. I mean, the list is almost two pages long here of the different types of sherries and different areas that they're available in and the different names and all that. So it's been around forever. The sherries and the sherry region has been around forever. But the traditional types of these wines are all white, known as Fino, Fino Viejo, or Amontillo, Oloroso, and Oloroso Viejo. The first name has an alcohol, first one named there, Fino, has an alcohol content of 16 to 16.5%. The Fino Viejo, or Amontillo, let me get a drink of wine. Oh, thank you. The Fino Viejo, or Fino Amontillo, has an alcohol level of 17 to 17.5%. The Oloroso, 18 to 19%. And Oloroso Viejo is 19 to 21%. And these wines are blended to master standard sherry grades. No alcohol is added at all, whereas in the sherry vinification process, grape alcohol is used to stabilize and fortify the wine. Now, grape alcohol is just like I was saying when we were talking about the port. You ferment the grapes, you can raise your alcohol level up as high as you want it. That's what they do. You ferment potatoes for vodka, you ferment, you know, any number of things. You raise the alcohol level up, you ferment grapes, and you feed that back in to get your sherries and your brandies. So, the wines, sherry grades, no alcohol, but grape alcohol is added to stabilize it and fortify the wine. The wines are pale greenish gold in color, with a very prominent bouquet and special taste, which marks them out from the sherries of the same name. Light dry, they may have delicate bitter almond flavors. So that is back in 1970. They're quoting the wine growing district of sherry grapes consists of 89,000 acres in areas of southern Spain. So that is information from 1970. But again, that doesn't change a whole lot. But sherry is fortified. It's made from white grapes. It's Juarez de la Frontera in the Andalusia province, or whatever they call it in Spain. And it's primarily used with the Palomino grape. That is the basic grape in it. The Palomino Fino or Palomino Besto or Palomino de Jerez. The Palomino Fino is probably the most important. This is the grape, the primary grape that's used to make sherries. You ferment this and keep it down. In different parts of the world, the same grape is gone by different names, though. So in France, for example, it's called the Liston. South Africa is Franz Durf or the White French. And it's just, you know, different areas has different names, like so many grapes do. The Australia and California, the Palomino grape is also used to make sherries. So it's it will grow just about everywhere. excuse me. In 2006, as a little FYI for you here, the Mission grape of California and Latin America, the one that was cultivated by the Jesuit and Franciscan monasteries throughout the New World, is now actually they're finding the Liston Perito and Palomino Negro of Spain. So it's the rare grapes there that these were the ones that they originally brought over. There is a list a mile long here of what the Palomino grape goes by. I give you the basic ones, but there is a list very long here. And you know, I read through it earlier today and I didn't recognize anyone jumping out at me. The Tempranillo grape that we are so familiar with out of France is, they're thinking, a type of Palomino. They're calling the Tempranillo the Palomino also. So I don't know. It's according to this particular article, it says that it is the same, but I don't know. Sherry is protected. Protected designation of origin status. Under Spanish law, all wines labeled as sherry must legally come from what they call the Sherry Triangle. It's an area in the province of Cadiz between Juarez de la Frontera, San Lucar de Barrameda, and El Puerto de Santa Maria. The first official Dominion de origin was for the D-O, actually is what it is, was Juarez Xeres Sherry. I guess I'm X-E-R-E-S. I don't know. But that was the first area. That was the first designation that Spain had. The wines from different years are usually blended in what they call the Solera method. The Solera method is, I learned about the Solera method years ago. It's a bunch of containers, usually a year on a level, and these containers each contain a certain year of a sherry. The top ones, they also do this with brandies too. The top container is the youngest. The bottom container is the oldest. What you do is you let it age Solera in the Sun. And the sherry, or whatever it is then taken from the bottom roll of containers, be them barrels or whatever it happens to be, using oak barrels. You bottle from the bottom, but you don't bottle all of it. Then you take the next row above it, you feed it into the container below until it fills up, and then you take the next row above that, and you feed it into the row that you just filled it up from, and on up till you get to the top of the stack. Now you can have, I've seen pictures of them stacked, you know, 8-9 barrels high, and they feed it down to the next one. But it doesn't give you a vintage. Doing that is, there's no way you're going to get a vintage because it is all ran together. Now, this could even be 50 or 100 different cycles, they call it, or years of record keeping, usually different types of it, which is going to give you a blended taste, but they control it. They know what they're doing. The people who make it obviously know how long they need to keep each one in there. But so it's transferred at the end of the year, and each one is continuously transferred. So, I can get into the aging. They on this particular article lists how the aging is done and all that. But suffice it to say, it's just a transfer from one to the other, and you can have different years blended together. So after 20 years of doing this, you're going to have a mix of wines aged anywhere from 3 to 20 year old, averaging just under 5 years total. So that's the Solera method that is used in sherries and in actually ports and also some other stuff. Marcella wine is also uses Solera method. So it's pretty neat. Check out, you want to know more information about it, but it's pretty neat. Check out the pictures of it and how they do it. There's some videos out there too that you can check out about the Solera method and show how they do it and stuff. So, but that's how it is aged. Sherry has been around forever. The center of Juarez has been the center of winemaking since Spain, introduced to Spain by the Phoenicians in 1100 BC. It was carried on by the Romans, and which, you know, were just right around the bend from them, literally. The Moors conquered the region and introduced distillation, and it led to development of brandy and the fortified wines. Sherry in Juarez was derived from the Moorish period. The wine production continued through 5 centuries of Arab rule, and in 966, Al-Hakim II ordered the destruction of the vineyards. But the inhabitants of Juarez appealed on the grounds that the vineyards also produced raisins to feed the empire's soldiers, and so the caliph spared 2/3 of the vineyards. And so it was not completely destroyed. 1264, Alfonso X of Castile took the city, and the production of sherry and its export throughout Europe increased significantly. By the end of the 16th century, sherry had a reputation in Europe as the world's finest wine. So this was back in, you know, the 16th century. Christopher Columbus brought sherry on his voyage to the New World. And when Magellan prepared to sail around the world in 1519, it said that he spent more money on sherry than he did on weapons. That was how important. Sherry traveled well. That's why they did that. Sherry and ports and stuff. I mean, pick up sherry in Spain and ports in Portugal, and they were off to the seven seas. sherry became popular in Great Britain around right after 1580. So that's when Francis Drake sacked Cadiz. And Cadiz was the most important Spanish seaport. And then Spain was preparing an armada to invade England. Among the spoils Drake took was a fleet of 2,900 barrels of sherry that was to be aboard the be loaded on the Spanish ships. And because of this, sherry became very popular in the British Isles. Many English companies and styles developed because of this, and Juarez Cellars was founded by British families. This was back when, you know, the sun never set on the British Empire, and so they had their fingers in all sorts of little pies at the time. In 1894, the Juarez region was devastated by phylloxera. I believe we talked about phylloxera in the past on different shows. If we haven't, I'm sure we have, but if you haven't, email me or get in touch with me, call me toll free, and remind me, and I'll do some more on phylloxera. But larger vineyards were replanted with resistant vines, but the smaller producers were unable to afford it, actually. It was too much for them, so they abandoned the vineyards completely, which cut down the production tremendously. The types, we've talked about Fino means fine in Spanish. It, you know that, I'm sure most of you know. Manzanilla Pasada. This is the manzanilla that's undergone extended aging, and so it's getting a little bit of oxidized and getting a darker golden color, honey color. Amontillo, Oloroso. Oloroso means scented in Spanish. I didn't know that. It's produced with a darker, richer wine. Alcohol levels are 18% to 20%. Palo Cordero, C-O-R-T-A-D-O, is a variety of sherry that initially aged like an Armatadillo, typically for 3 or 4 years, but which then develops a character closer to Oloroso. This either happens by accident when the florals die, or commonly the floral is killed by fortification or filtration, and it creates the Palo Cortado. Juarez Dulce, which is sweet sherries. This is the dried Pedro MNX, or PX grapes, or the Muscatel grapes. Now, the Muscatel grapes, again, it's part of the Muscat family. The Muscatel grapes is part of the Muscat family. And we talked about the Muscat family in past episodes. I'm going to say 7-8 years ago we talked about the Muscat family, because everybody always associates that with the Muscat grape of the, you know, Muscatel and stuff like that, of the Alley Drunk. But the Muscat grape has been around for centuries. Literally centuries and centuries. It's been spread around the world. It's probably one of the older grapes, too. They're saying the origin was in Egypt, and it was spread around through that. Also has seeds, by the way, if you didn't know that. The Muscat grape is full of seeds. But, and then cream sherry. In the 1860s, by blending the different sherries, usually the Oloroso and the Pedro Ximenez, and they come up with the cream sherry, which is very sweet and actually, you know, very good, I think. In April of 2012, the rules applicable to the sweet and fortified dominions of origin were changed to prohibit sweet Oloroso and sweet Amatillo, banning terms such as rich Oloroso, sweet Oloroso, or Oloroso Dulce. Such wines were to be labeled as cream sherry, blend of Oloroso, Amatillo, or such like. The classification of sweetness is actually laid out. Phenol being the driest, Manzanillo, Amatillo, all 15 to 17% alcohol and 0 to 5% sugar content. Dry sherry is sweeter actually than phenol and these others I just mentioned, or the Oloroso. Dry sherry comes in at 15 to 22% alcohol and it's 5 to 45% sugar content. These are grams per liter, by the way. Pale cream sherry is 15.5 to 22% alcohol, 45 to 115 grams per liter of sugar. Medium, 5 to 115 sugar. Cream sherry, 115 to 140. Dulce sweet, if you really want it sweet, that's 160 plus grams per sherry. Muscatel, and this again is not what you would think of. Muscatel is 160 plus. And then if you really want to go sweet, Pedro Ximenez, 15 to 22% alcohol, 212 plus grams per liter of sugar. So those are sweet. The names are protected. The EU legislation has protected all the sherry names and everything. The grapes most commonly in sherries, Palomino, Pedro Ximenez, and Muscatel. And it's the Muscatel is used about the same as Pedro Ximenez, but not quite as often. Palomino being the one most commonly used. Aging, you can age sherry. It'll stay. It will keep for a long, long time before it's open. You know, it's not going to go bad on you. There's nothing there to go bad on. Once you open it, I've heard people say that they've opened the sherry and they've kept it for 15 years before they finally finished the bottle and it was good as the day they opened it. I question that a little bit, especially the sweet ones. The dry ones will probably age better than the sweet, in my opinion. But I question the fact that the sherries are going to age for that long. They really aren't made to. If you're keeping them properly, if you're storing them properly and all that, you might be able to get some more years out of them. Two average age-dated categories are recognized on sherry bottles as VOS, which means Vinum Optimum Signatum, which is 20 years old average age minimum, and then VORS, which is Vinum Optimum Rare Signatum, which is 30 years minimum. So if you want to get yourself some old sherries, then there you go. A lot of the sherry barrels and stuff after going down or so to the whiskey industry, you'll find the sherries in being the barrels being used in whiskey industry and imparts a wonderful flavor to it. And let's see if there's something else here I want to tell you about. Well, if this comes up, I will. There it is. Sweet sherries. Most sherries in American liquor stores are cheap. Should be only used for, cooking. And I disagree with that statement. This particular article says should only be. If it's not good enough to drink, you shouldn't be cooking with it. So don't be buying cooking sherry. Don't be buying cheap sherry. If you're going to cook with sherry, buy something that you enjoy drinking while you're cooking it. This particular article says that once open, sherry should be drunk within a day or so. And it says if you can't, then refrigerate it. So the more robust varieties can last several weeks. I don't know. Who is this that says this? This is Liquor Drink. blog. So I think they will age longer than that. And let's see. Let's do that. And let's look at this other one here I want to talk about sherry, before we close out here. Available year-round store. Okay, here we go. How to store sherries. Store upright in the dark, quiet place before opening. Upright. Now, you don't need to lay it on its side. It's not going to make a difference. The cork doesn't need to be moist. Upright. This keeps the oxidation to a minimum and ensures that the taste is going to be as vibrant as possible. A good sherry can be safely stored unopened. Now, this article says 18 to 36 months. So you're looking at 3 years, what I was just saying, depending on the type. Remember, once open, the flavor starts to fade, so the sherry must be refrigerated and keep it as fresh as possible. So you can keep it, but just don't need to lay it down. It's not going to help it any. It's not going to do anything for it. Once it's open, refrigerated, and that's underlying thing I'm seeing on everything that I've looked at. Once it's open, refrigerated. And you know what happens when you refrigerate it? Every time you open a refrigerator, you see it and you go, ooh, sherry. And you have yourself a little bit more. So, and I think I'm done. That's everything you ever wanted to know about sherry. Well, maybe not everything. You can always check it out. There are all sorts of articles and everything you can imagine about sherry on the internet and everywhere you want to look. It is a very popular drink. It can be drank young. It can be held for years. It can be served with all sorts of different stuff, usually an after dinner drink, but it is also great for just sipping before a meal and or with something that's going to hold up well with it if you want to have it with the food. And it's just, you can get some that are reasonably priced. So don't, sherries are so expensive. Sherries are so, no reason to think that way, because they're not. There are some great ones out there at some reasonable prices. Check with your local wine shop and say, I'm looking for a sherry that's going to give me the taste of nuttiness or the taste of raisiny, and I'm sure they can hook you up on that. So, that's it for our episode on sherry. Nothing happening this weekend. We don't have any events or anything going on. We cut back in August and September to one a month because it is so bloody hot. And also, snowbirds head north and they don't stay around here. And a lot of our vendors also head north. And so we found that we're just going to cut back on it. But we are open. We are there. We are more than happy to talk to you. If you come out to the winery, I'll be happy to sit down with you or stand there with you and answer any of the questions you have and all that stuff, and do a tasting and try some of the wines and just have a good time. It's supposed to be nice Saturday, but then Sunday we got that tropical storm remnants that is flying to the south and coming, and we're going to, one of the models shows it going right up the coast next to us here, so I think that's going to dump some rain on us. No matter how it goes, I think we're going to get rain. So if you're planning on coming to Florida this week, then pack your slickers, pack your rain gear, because I believe we're going to be getting some rain in Florida this week. But right after a storm goes through like that, it's usually gorgeous. I did some mowing at the winery yesterday, by the way, and while I was mowing, I saw love bugs. Ah, they're back. And they're not supposed to be here for another couple of weeks yet, at least, but they're back. Look it up. Or ask somebody who lives in Florida. They'll tell you, oh, yeah, love bugs. Oh, my gosh. And no, the University of Florida did not bring them into the state. That is a myth. So, missed you, Mike, tonight. There were some things that you could have looked up while I was jabbering. But that's okay. Y'all tune in to us next week. If you want to leave me any messages or anything this week or get in touch with us for anything, 866-588-WINE. That's our toll-free number. That can be called anytime. 866-588-9463. And we'll look forward to seeing you next week. Have yourself a wonderful week. And if you live in Florida, stay dry. And anywhere else, drink lots of wine. And have a good week.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.